You've often heard me say, it's always right to do right, and it's always wrong to do wrong. I hope that I will be able to say that as long as I live, because I believe it's important for us to get that principle written in our hearts. There's one rule in life that ought to govern every decision that we make, and that is, do right. It's always right to do right. But I want to take that and build upon it today another thing, and that is, we need to do right right now. If it's right to do right, then isn't it wrong to not do right right now? I want you to think about that. And if it is always right to do right, isn't it always right to do right right now? There is an urgency about obedience. In Acts 16, whenever Paul received that call from Macedonia, the Bible said that after he had seen the vision, verse 10, immediately, look at it, immediately, there is an urgency about doing the will of God. We live in a time in which we do not often assume personal responsibility. Or we take the attitude, well, we'll do it whenever we get around to it. But if we'll think about it for just a moment, if the most important thing on earth is to do right, then the most important thing to do is to do right right now. You see, think about the importance of obedience. As you begin thinking about the importance of obedience, we shall develop the lesson by looking at the example of Jesus. We shall show the relationship between obedience and grace. Then we shall talk about the fact that salvation depends upon it. Talk about the examples of others who have obeyed immediately. And then conclude the lesson by saying, let's do it right now. It's important to do right. Think about the example of Jesus. Sometimes we may not recognize the humanity of Jesus. But hear these words from Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 that says, even though he was the Son of God. Now think about this. Emmanuel, God in the flesh, even though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. Have you learned that? Have you learned that which was so important for Jesus to learn, and that is the place of obedience in your life? Sometimes I think we have the attitude that I'm okay and you're okay and I'm in charge, and therefore I'll just do things whenever I get around to them. But that can never be the case when it's a matter of doing that which is right. And when Jesus came and lived on this earth, when he was to someday have all authority to be given unto him, he had to go through the very same process that you and I need to go through, and that is to learn the importance of obedience. You talk about a purpose of this lesson, it is to try to help every one of us to learn of the importance of doing right and doing it right now. Jesus had to learn that. And so it was whenever he lived on this earth. John chapter 8 and verse 29, he talked about the Father who had sent him and the fact that the Father was with him. The Father has not left me alone, for, and look at this, I always, hear that, I always do the things that please him. I want you to understand it's important to do right, but the example of Jesus is that it's important to always do it. There was never a day in the life of Jesus, never a day in his life on this earth that this was not a part of his life, and that is, I'm going to do today what pleases God. There never was an hour in the life of Jesus whenever it was not a part of the heart of Jesus, I'm going to please God. There never was a minute in the life of Jesus. There never was an instant in the life of Jesus when this did not govern his life, and that is, I'm going to do that which pleases God. Hear me. It's important to do right right now. And so the very body that God had prepared for him, Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 10 and verse 7, describes God giving him a body And Jesus' response to coming in that body was this: I have come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I have come to do your will, O God. The example of Jesus in doing right is one that you and I need to understand. How important was he? In Gethsemane, sweating sweat, as it were, drops of blood, recognizing the agonous death that lay before him, Jesus still was always wanting to do that which was right and hear his prayer when he says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Is that your attitude? When you read the Bible, when people talk to you about living right and doing right, when people talk to you about obeying the gospel, when people talk to you about living the Christian life, look at the very Son of God and recognize the attitude of the Son of God was, not my will, but yours be done. And there he is agonizing with that which lay before him, but his heart was saying, God, let your will be done. It's important to do right. It's important to do right right now. You see, you and I need to understand that the response to the grace of God is our obedience. Some people have misunderstood the matter of the grace of God, and their attitude toward the grace of God is that all that is involved in eternal salvation is the fact that there's a good and wonderful and loving God up there in heaven. Their attitude is why God wouldn't send anybody to hell. In fact, there are many religionists in our land today who don't even believe in an eternal hell. Why, how could a good, loving God send anybody to hell? Let me tell you something. If salvation is by grace alone, if I focus only on the verses in the Bible that deal with grace, I will arrive at the conclusion that everybody on this earth is going to be saved. God is good, and God is gracious. And the grace of God has appeared to all men. Titus chapter 2 and verse 10 says. But that doesn't mean everybody's going to be saved, does it? But understand also that response to the grace of God that only involves faith results in a dead faith that is as useless as a dead body. Some people read the concept of you're saved by grace through faith, and they arrive at the fact, well, then all I've got to do is just say, I trust you, Lord, and everything else is all right. Look how James chapter 2 deals with this when it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Unless there's the manifestation of the faith that's in my heart in obedience to God, then the grace of God is negated. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The very first time the word grace is found, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. But had Noah not built the ark, there never been a salvation of his family, even though he was saved by faith, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. God gave the Israelites the land. I've given you this land. Go in and take it. It's a matter of grace that the promised land was there. But the walls of Jericho fell down by faith after they were encompassed about seven times. You see, it is this matter of obedience that perfects faith. We're saved by faith. That's what John 3:16 says. We are saved by the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus. But it is not an imperfect faith that is a dead faith. It's an obedient faith. And so in reference to Abraham, James chapter 2 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? Do you not see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was perfected? Obedience to God does not negate grace. It does not. It is simply the perfection of the faith that is in our hearts. And so the statement says, the scriptures were fulfilled. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. When was that fulfilled? When Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice, faith is perfected. That's how important obedience is. For you see, our salvation is dependent upon that. Whether I obey or not, whether I do right or not, will determine whether I go to heaven. Whether you obey or not, whether you do right or not, will determine whether you're going to heaven. And so whenever we talk about there's one rule in life, and that is do right, we're talking about the prime thing on this earth, and that is doing that which is right. It's the prime. It's all that matters. But the whole purpose of this lesson is to emphasize the fact that we need to do right, right this very minute. It's not a matter of, well, someday I may get around to it. Someday I plan to live right. Someday I plan to become a Christian. Someday I plan to be a faithful child of God. Oh no, salvation depends upon obeying here. We mentioned Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, that said he learned obedience. Listen to us in the very next verse that talks about us. Having been perfected, Jesus having been perfected by what happened in his life, he became the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him. There it is. The present tense of the obedience in this verse indicates an ongoing obedience. He is the author of those individuals who obey him. He is the author of eternal salvation to those who do right. And because of that, it's important to do right right now. Hear it again. Whenever we come to a realization of the fact that to call upon him as Lord and not do what he says is mockery. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus asked this rhetorical question that the answer is so obvious whenever he says, why are you calling me Lord and not obeying me? I think about Peter, who as he's about to sink down in that water, having said to the Lord, Lord, if it's you, bid me walk on this water, and he's out walking on the water, and whenever he takes his eyes off of the Lord, immediately he begins to sink. And he said, Lord, save me. Hear me. In your life, when those circumstances come in your life that are life-threatening, don't look up to God and say, Lord, save me. And expect an answer to that prayer when your life has been a mockery of disobedience. Why do you say, Lord, indicating authority? Why do you say, Lord, indicating a supreme one? Why do you say, Lord, when you're indicating the ruler of your life, when he's never ruled your life at all? Our Father, which art in heaven, how can you pray that prayer when you know you're not a child of God? It's right to do right, right now. And hear this judgment scene. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it's good or bad. We shall be there. I shall be there. You shall be there. And we're going to be judged by what we've done while we've lived in this body. I beg of you, while you are in this body, to do right. And press upon you the importance of doing right right now. You want to see the importance of doing right? Look at the examples of those who've done right. Acts chapter 10, verse 33, when Cornelius is at his house and Peter arrives, he said, I saw an angel and I immediately sent for you. Now, therefore, we're all present before God to hear the things commanded you by God. Every one of us is here, Cornelius says. for one purpose, and that is to obey. Think about Paul as he lived his life whenever he said, Acts chapter 24, verse 16, here's the way I've lived my life. Here's the rule that I have lived my life. I have always strived to have a conscience without offense toward God and toward man. What a motto. Living his life saying, I'm going to never do that which I know displeases God. And the only way to do that is to do right, right now. For you see, the other attitude is to almost spit in the face of God. Presumptuousness. Of saying, God, I know you're there, and I know that you made the world, and I know that you're the Lord of lords and King of kings. I know that you are the Supreme One, and there are times in my life in which I acknowledge that, and I may even say it to others. But there are times in my life in which I don't want you to be in charge of my life. Folks, there's one thing to be ignorant of the will of God. It's one thing on the day of judgment to stand before God and say, nobody ever taught me what was right. I was born in some third world country and I grew up in a grass hut or a mud hut someplace on this earth, and never one time did I even know the name of Jesus. I grew up in a place where the name of Jesus was simply not heard. It's one thing to stand before God on that day. Well, that's not where you are. That's not at all where you are. In a land where the name of Jesus is so well known. In a land where you turn on the television and four or five of the channels seem to be religious channels. You turn across the dial and you keep running across religious teaching across the dial. The best-selling book in this land year after year is the Bible. You live in a land where the Word of God is a part of your life. And the very fact that you're here today is an indication of the fact that there's a realization in your heart and in your life that there is a responsibility that you have. And it's like Cornelius who says, I've come here to find out what God wants me to do. And to stand before God on that day and say, I consciously rejected all of that. I rejected the cross. I don't want to go to heaven. I want to live my life. For all that matters is what happens in this 60 or 70 or 80 years I live on this earth. That's all that matters. God, you're a great idea, but I don't want you in my life. You know what Hebrews 10 says? If we are sinning willfully, present tense, there does not remain sacrifice for sin. And the next verse says, here's what does remain. An absolutely certain expectation of the coming judgment of God. Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you doing right? Or does this verse describe you? Knowledgeable about the cross of Christ, knowing that Jesus came and died for us, died for our sins. And you have not obeyed the gospel. It's right to do right right now. And so we urge you to obey him now. Look at the immediacy of activity of those in the Bible. You know who's immediately active in relationship to salvation? Satan. In that parable that Jesus told about the man who went out and sowed the seed, which represents the heart of man, and the Word of God got in the hearts of individuals. Listen to Mark chapter 4. These are the ones by the wayside where the Word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes that Word that was sown out of his heart. You know what that means? That even now, as some of you have thought about giving your life to Jesus, even now, Some of you are thinking about, I ought to obey the gospel. Even now, as you hear the words, it's right to do right right now, that Satan is beside you ready to snatch the very words of God out of your heart. What are you going to do about it? Won't you do what the apostles did whenever Jesus came to them and said, follow me? And the Bible says, Matthew chapter 4, verse 22, that immediately they left their boats and followed him. What are you going to do about it? If Satan is at your heart right now ready to snatch the word of God, what are you going to do about it? You need to understand that the attitude that Cornelius had whenever he found the way of truth, he says, I sent to you immediately. I wasn't going to let the devil get inside my life and destroy that which could have happened in my life. And so I immediately started doing that which was right. And Paul in Acts chapter 16 and verse 10, whenever the opportunity was there to teach the gospel to others, immediately he left. Can we not understand by these examples of the importance of doing that which was right immediately, but when we know that we ought to do it right now? I love the expression in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5 that talks about using your time wisely, redeeming the time. The verse says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. What does that mean? How do you redeem time if you've never had it? How do you buy back something that you've never had? Well, think about the nature of time, that it is inherently wasted. You're wasting your time. You do nothing, and you do not own that time. It's yours, but it's gone. And so this verse says, right now, buy that time back from idleness. It's yours, but the hesitancy about doing right now means it's gone forever. The only way to have that time is to use it, and to use it right now. And so hear these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. He said, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. God speaking. I've been listening to you. I've been helping you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Right now. Now is the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. What about you? If you were to appear before the judgment seat of Christ and you haven't obeyed Him, isn't today the day of your salvation? Or if you choose to wait later, today is the day of your damnation. If today opens up the gates of heaven because you choose to obey, then does not indecision and delay open up the gates of hell? And there are those who are here this day who need to obey the gospel. This lesson has not been designed primarily for those of us who are children of God to encourage us to live right and do right, though God knows we need to do that. If you need to be restored to your Lord, you ought to do that right now. But in this very audience right now are those who ought to obey the gospel. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And if you believe it, you cannot afford to have a dead kind of faith. That's all that you got. That kind of faith is dead. even though the grace of God is there, and even though you have faith that He's the Son of God, that's not perfected faith. Faith is not perfected until you make a decision, I'm going to turn my life around. That's what repentance is. It's the decision that you make. You'll live the rest of your life bearing the fruits of repentance, but the repentance that God now commands all men everywhere, Acts chapter 17, verse 30, is that decision that God makes. God commands you to make a decision. And when you have confessed your faith in Jesus, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, then you can be baptized into Christ. Right now you're in the world. Right now you're in the kingdom of Satan. Right now you are in the kingdom of hell. But you can be baptized into the kingdom of heaven. You can be baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 says, when you are buried in water, born of water and of the Spirit, then you enter the kingdom of God. And that's what I beg you to do. To make up your mind to do these things that you might be added to His church, to His family, to His body, to be a citizen of heaven. And then as His child, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, to live faithful unto death. Hear me. To delay a decision to obey is to make a decision to disobey. Think seriously about that. And then make the decision to follow Jesus right now. As together we stand and sing. Will you come?